I just wanted to say that yesterday we talked about how important it is to read the Bible the morning, and I thought about the verse in Psalm 119 where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I thought it's like if you don't read the Bible in the morning, it's like if you have a flashlight in your hand turned off and you run in the woods without light. And when there's a path crossing your path or an intersection or whatever, will not see the right path where you should go. So it's very, very important to really read the Bible the morning.
Well, it's interesting that Gideon, and I'm referring to these verses that we didn't publicly read, that he seeks from the Lord an indication that the Lord has really spoken unto him. I want to say this in a right way. We recognize that we have the Spirit of God today. He lives in our hearts. We have the Word of God that our brother has set before us is not only a light for our a lamp unto our feet. I don't know what you think about that, but I think of the next step that I'm going to take. A lamp for my feet and a light for the pathway. Gideon was seeking that. Remember, he didn't have the advantages that we have. He was seeking that he might really be sure in his own heart that this is the way that the Lord would have him to go. So he had asked for a sign, and he says to this one, he says, "If I have found grace in thy sight," in verse 17, "show me a sign." And he goes to present. It wasn't a little thing that he did. I mean, he goes and he takes the animal. It says here, I want to bring forth my present. I want to set it for you. He made ready a kid, unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. He brought the broth in a pot and he brought it out under the oak and presented it. I always come when I come to the oak tree to the cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meeting point. That's the starting point. That's the continuing point. That's always the end in view, if we could say it that way. And this is where he comes. The angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh, the unleavened cakes, and there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed. He was gone. He was no longer needed by Gideon.
Chuck gave us a really nice overview of the week that we've had together in our travels from Egypt through the Red Sea, the Jordan, and now we see where the people of Israel are in failure and there is a man chosen. But that summary that he just gave us a few minutes ago, we see now in the life of an individual. And I want to just point that out in these few verses that we just saw. We saw that overview for the people of Israel. But now we see in Gideon that exact same overview in a few verses going back to where we were yesterday and to where we're beginning today. We see the same overview in his life personally. And this is where we want to be, is we want to see how we can appropriate these truths for us individually so that there is an effect for us individually, but that this will also make a corporate testimony for Christ. So, how do we summarize what we've just had before us and have had this week in a few verses that are right here? In verse 13, notice, Gideon is asking of the Lord, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? He recalls the redemption that was wrought by the work of the Lord, bringing their people out of bondage and into this land. He goes back to the beginning, right? That's where we started this week, in Egypt. And he's remembering for himself, isn't Lord, aren't you the one that brought us up out of Egypt? But now you've forsaken us. Why? Because there wasn't, we've talked about, self-judgment when there was failure. There wasn't the going back to Gilgal. Okay, remember Bochim? Okay, but then the Lord says, go in this thy might. Right, now he had appropriated for himself where they had come from. And now, when we begin our reading today, what do we find? We find that he brings something, as it's given here, as a present, right? That depart not, in verse 18, hence I pray thee until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And then Gideon brings a kid, unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour, right? And brings it to the oak. All the things that he brought spoke of Christ, and the oak, we heard, speaks of the cross. Okay, and so here we have that redemptive work individually appropriated for Gideon himself. And he could only go in the might of the finished work of Christ on the cross. It wasn't his work. It wasn't his strength. Yet God looked at him as a mighty man of valor. So see the summary that we have in these couple of verses, but now worked out in the life of an individual. And that's what we want to see. We want to see this in my life. I want to see this. The Lord wants to see it in my life, right? Worked out for him. And this is what we are trying to express here from these scriptures that we appropriate individually.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Brother John, to add to that, I looked at that first sentence in verse 19, Gideon went in. And I think it gives us young people a sense that this is in our own homes, our own personal lives, where we see what Gideon, when he went in, what he comes out with, the things that he has prepared. A young brother mentioned to us about the importance of the Word of God. It's a light, it's a lamp. The Word of God is where we learn of the Lord himself in his presence, in those private moments. So while Gideon is asking and to have confirmation that this is from the Lord himself, he goes into his private area, if you would, and you see what he comes out with. And this is what we want, where we want us to develop as young people. You know, there was a time that you were a child, and you're speaking like a child. Very simple things, simple understanding. But now you're teenagers. Some are in first, second year of college. And so there should be more that I have developed and learned of the Lord Jesus, that I can appreciate him for who he is and what he has done. And in these elements that we see him bringing out and presenting to the angel, they speak of the Lord Jesus. And so we don't want to be in the same place that we were as children, the same knowledge of things, very simple, basic things, but that each and every day as we spend time in his presence and in the Word of God, that what we bring out now unto the one who is at the oak and make this presentation, that these are wonderful things of the Lord Jesus. The flesh, the unleavened cakes, they speak of the perfection of the life of the Lord Jesus. No sin in him at all. And he lays it upon this rock. Brother Chuck reminds us that the oak speaks of Calvary. You know, if I want to boast in anything, let it be in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has crucified me unto the world and the world unto me, done with the world, buried with him in baptism. And now let's see the response of the angel, right? Because how wonderful it is when we present the things of Christ to God, that there in his hand was this staff, and it touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and it consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Do you know at Calvary, when the judgment of God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus as the true sacrifice, that the sacrifice was not consumed. He was able to stand. He was able to respond fully to the judgment of God. But here it is consumed, the true judgment of God. And now we find that the angel departs out of his sight. It's wonderful to present the Lord to God and to have an appreciation in our souls of who he is and what he has done for us.